Good morning. It is great to see you. I'm thankful that we get to be together today. Looking forward to spending a few minutes here with our Bibles open and considering some things that God has revealed to us. Appreciate those that have led our service to this point. And it is a beautiful day. Appreciate Brother Billy Joe and sharing that prayer with us. And it is an amazing day. It is beautiful in a number of ways. It's hard to believe that it's November, the way that it's so warm and everything. But be that as it may, it's great to be together. It's beautiful in here, and it's beautiful to consider all the blessings that God has shared with us. And so I'm looking forward to spending this time together. If you have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians 13, we're going to be thinking about this idea, this concept of being tested. Because if you're like me, you feel like you've been tested over and over again. Specifically, how many think and feel like you've had your temperature taken like a million times just in the last couple of weeks? It's really strange. I feel like I've had my temperature taken over and over and over again here recently. This is what happened to us. This is what made me start thinking this way. A few weeks ago, we weren't quite as early as we wanted to be for a Saturday morning football game over at Jackie Browning Ballpark. We were making our way over there for Ike and Jet to play football and turn in there to the park at Jackie Browning, and the line of cars goes all the way out to the street. And my first thought was, great, we're going to be even later than we were. What's the deal? Why with all these cars? And eventually I realized what they were doing was there was a checkpoint. And every single car that came into the ballpark, you had to sign a sheet. Yes, all of us in here are healthy. None of us have had fevers. And every single person in the car had to have that gun put towards them, right? Every single person in the car had to have their temperature taken. And so they were doing that for every single car. Every single person in the car, temp taken, and then you can go in. And they did that every single time you came to the ballpark. That was done for people when you went to school, before the school shut down and all that. Everywhere you're going, people are taking your temperature over and over again. So as I was sitting there in that line, waiting for our turn to have the temperature of our car taken, I thought to myself, this is crazy. I've never had my temperature taken this often. But then as I tried to, you know, process it and to reflect a little bit, I thought, now wait a minute. This has spiritual application. There's something valuable here. There's spiritual application here. Because this thought, in this season of ours where we are constantly having our temperature taken, it helped me there in that moment, and then Lord willing, as I move forward, to do some self-examination. Because as you see here, and what Robbie has read, and what you see here in 2 Corinthians 13, is that the Lord reveals in Scripture, He actually demands that we keep a vigilant watch over our spiritual health. Look at that verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. Now that's pretty clear. I don't think you'd have to work really hard to misunderstand that, I think. He addresses the church, and thus in turn, the Lord is addressing us. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. You and I should be willing to check our spiritual health on a regular basis. You and I should be anxious to do that, thankful to do that, glad to do that. Unlike the way that I was there at the beginning where I thought, great, this long line's going to cause problems for our little household today. That's not the way I should approach it, right? When it comes to the concept of spiritual examination, I should be thankful. I should be excited. I should be willing to look deep within. I should be willing to compare myself to the Lord. I should be willing to compare myself to what's revealed in Scripture. And so what we're going to see today, as the text shows us today, this is a divine command. We should be willing to examine ourselves regularly. So, here's the way we're going to divide it up. We're going to look at it sort of in a negative way and a positive way. Sort of negative things that might be happening versus positive things that might be happening. So we'll first start about talking about warning signs. Because we talk about warning signs when it comes to physical health. Like, you know there are certain things to be looking for a possible stroke, possible heart attack, these kinds of things. There are warning signs we look at, watching for, thinking about. What about warning signs for poor spiritual health? What are some of the things that we might need to be looking for here? Because if he says, examine yourselves, my question then becomes, okay, I'm happy to do that. I'm willing to examine myself. But what do I need to be looking for? What should I be on the lookout for here? If I'm going to be obedient to you, Lord, if I'm going to submit to your will, Lord, what is it that my eyes should be open to? Well, here's a few things we might consider negatively, sort of in the lack of area. If your life experiences a lack of prayer, it may be the case that that's one of the early warning signs. As you examine yourself, you may not be spiritually healthy. Think about some of these verses we've talked about just recently. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, right? In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, 18, the Lord says we're to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in every circumstance. There's the will of God for your life. Pray without ceasing. Be the type of person that automatically turns to prayer, the type of person who is just naturally, because of something that you have developed over time, it becomes who you are and what you do. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, at verse 1, the Bible says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Now, here's the way I want you to think about it. If I cannot find it in myself to want to spend time talking to God, that's a warning sign. If I don't desire to talk to my Creator, that's a warning sign. If I don't consider it necessary to unburden myself to the Lord, think about the ways this works. If I don't consider it necessary to share great things with God, if I don't consider it necessary to offer praise and thanksgiving to God, but also if I don't consider it necessary to unload my heavy heart, if I don't consider it necessary to get huge, heavy weights and burdens off of me and share with Him, then that's a problem. It's a warning that I'm not healthy. It's one thing to, and this is a good thing, but it's one thing to happily bow your head on a day like today when we're all gathered together. But what about when nobody's calling you to do it? Think about it. This morning, Patrick said, let's all bow now. Let's go to our Father in prayer. And we called Brother Billy Joe up here, and he came up and he prayed for us. We were called to do that. So whether you're in this room or at home, wherever you might be, we were called together to pray. And maybe you were thrilled to do that. I hope you were. But if you're not also thrilled to do it when you're not called, when there's not a formal setting, a formal situation where someone says, all right, now, you bow your head. If I'm not anxious and willing to do that on my own, there's a problem. Then there's this. It's not only the idea of prayer, but what about study? Psalm 119, listen to the way that the psalmist talks about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Word of God truly is what guides you, leads you, directs you, gives you meaning, gives you purpose, tells you about forever? Do you believe that? I think if you truly believed it, if it really meant something to your heart of hearts, you'd want to have that book open. You'd want to have it close by. You'd want to know it. A sign of spiritual health is a desire to be close to the Word of God. Not just as you hold it in your hand, but as you hold it in your heart. That's something else that the psalmist says in Psalm 119. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Now think about it this way. This ought to bring it home for a lot of us. I know it does for me. If I can read line after line after line about politics, can I spend a few minutes in the Word of God? If I can scroll through page after page after page of updates from strangers that I call friends about their vacations and about what they're eating for dinner, if I can look at all of those things for minutes and hours, can I spend a little time with the Word of God? If I can read novels that might entertain but probably don't edify, can I spend a little time with the Word of God? If I can make time for all those things and so much more, but can't find it within me to hear from God, then there is likely a health issue. Then there's this, the desire for worship. Now, I fully recognize and I appreciate the fact that we are living in strange times, be it in person or online, whatever it might be. We can gather together in these weird times. But whether you are here in this building this morning, or if you are at home, or wherever you might be, you're joining on live stream, wherever you are, you know what? You can be in it or you can be out of it. You can be there in sort of eyes and body only, but not be there in heart or spirit. You can show up and be in this place and still be a hypocrite. You can be online watching on live stream and have the feed going, have the service going, where maybe you hear my voice right now, but you're doing something else. You got 25 other things going on. You're just wanting to check a box. Well, I worshiped, had live stream going while I did X, Y, Z. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 8, Jesus says, "The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." He says, "In vain do they worship me." Now think about the way the Lord says, "I recognize that you can say certain things, you can appear certain ways, but I know your heart." And this is the way our hearts ought to be. Listen to the way that the psalmist in Psalm 63 describes his heart for the way he's so desperate to worship God. Listen to this, Psalm 63 at verse 1. "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there's no water, that's the way I feel about you, Lord. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life." And so because of that, he says, because your love is better than life, he says, "so my lips will praise you. So I'll bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands." You notice the difference there from Matthew 15, where the Lord says, look, there's all kinds of people who honor me with their lips, but their hearts are so far away. And then there's Psalm 63, where the psalmist says, "My heart is with you. My heart longs to see you, praise you, bless you, be with you." If I don't have a longing in the depths of my heart that approaches that concept, that revelation there in Psalm 63, then I might be sick. If worship's just something that I do every now and then rather than something I long to engage in, I might be sick. But then there's this. There's joy and contentment. You look back at 2 Corinthians 13. Down there at verse 11, he says, "Finally, brothers, rejoice." He says, you need to recognize there's a very special, a very unique kind of joy that comes from knowing the Lord. There's a contentment that's found in knowing the Lord. There's a contentment that's found in knowing that the Lord knows you, that He sees you, He hears you, He cares for you. That's a divine situation. That's a divine circumstance that can be found and had nowhere else. That's why Paul would write about in Philippians 4, verse 7, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and it's that peace that will guard hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Think about it this way. If my life is devoid of joy, if my soul is restless and unable to find contentment, if my search for contentment doesn't begin with the Lord, then it's very likely that I am sick. I'm not healthy. He said, examine yourselves and see what it is if Christ is living in you. Examine yourselves and see if Christ can be seen in you. And if you hear, I'm suggesting to you that Scripture says if it is the case that joy and contentment and these kinds of things are missing from your life, then you may be sick because Christ doesn't live in you. Then there's this last one, the idea of assurance. We mention assurance from time to time because, I guess I didn't put it on there. Or did I? Well, just stick with this for a moment. We're going to talk about assurance. It's not there, but talk about assurance. I assure you we're talking about assurance. Too often, many aren't sure. Too often they've lived decade after decade after decade of faithfulness, and yet because of a lack of understanding, a lack of what's been revealed in Scripture, there continues to be this hang-up, this hurdle, this barrier And they can't embrace what it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you read through the book of Hebrews carefully, noting from chapter 1 through the end, if you read through Hebrews, you're going to read words like confidence over and over. You're going to read words like assurance over and over. In Hebrews 10:22, he says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water." And that's just an example of what Scripture reveals, what the Lord reveals through His Word about the way in which we should approach our eternity if we know Jesus and been bought by the blood of Jesus. Because if Jesus Christ lives in us, we should be humble, of course, but we should also rest secure in His power. We should be assured that He has the power to keep the promises that He's made. A lack of confidence in the power and promises of Jesus is a sign of spiritual sickness. This is just a beginning of things that we could share in this vein, but I want to shift gears for a moment. Let me say this as we draw this first point to a close. I read once that the key in the case of a stroke is to act fast. Maybe you've heard this. F-A-S-T. When it comes to a stroke, the key is to act fast. F-A-S-T. The test, F. What's with their face? Can they smile normally? If they can't smile normally, then there might be a problem. F-A, their arms. Can they raise both their arms above their head? If they can't, there might be a problem. F-A-S, speech. Is their speech normal or is it slurred? F-A-S and then T, time. If you see any of these other signs, if they fail the F, the A, or the S, then the T becomes all important. If you see these signs and it's time right now, get help right now, right here, right away. Because these treatments work best if they're given right away. The closer the treatments are given to the time that symptoms are shown, the better off they'll be. To delay just causes further complications. Now, I know that you see the spiritual application there. I know you do. When it comes to the stroke, fast. If you see one of these warning signs, the time to go is now. Well, the same thing is true here. If you've examined yourself spiritually and you see any of these dangerous warning signs, the key is to seek help. The key is to seek healing right away. Delay is just a further indication of sickness. Delay just means further problems. And so just like we say for someone experiencing health issues, fast. Same is true here. Time is of the essence. What would be keeping you from making changes once you've examined yourself and see that you fall short of the glory of God? What would keep you from changing? Well, then there's this. Let's sort of shift gears to the other side and talk about good signs. When it comes to good signs, there's good things you should be looking for. If I look deep within, I examine myself, I test myself, see things about prayer and worship and study and all of this. There also should be other positive things that we're seeing. Like one, there should be the case that we see new desires. Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, listen to this, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That means that the things that we used to want, the things that we used to find important, we don't find important anymore. The goals that we used to have changed, because life in Christ changes all of that. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves. This is verse 5. See whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Well, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. In verse 11, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Whereas maybe making a name for yourself was important at one time, now promoting the name of Christ is the goal. Whereas stockpiling a great deal of money was important at one time, now sharing with the less fortunate is the goal. Whereas satisfying the lust of the flesh was important at one time, now purity in all of its glory is the goal. He says here in verse 11, thinking of the church, thinking about neighbor instead of selves is the desire. The desire for unity, aim for restoration, comfort each other, agree with each other, live in peace. Instead of being so inwardly focused, instead of being so selfish, what can I get? How can I get more? How can I get more praise? It's how can I help this one? How can I help that one? How can I pick up that one, lift that one, build this bridge? Your desires change from self to others. And that brings us to the second idea also. There ought to be an ability to see good and see value in others. Look at verse 6 here in 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 6. He says, I hope that you will find out that we have not failed the test. Here's what he means. You could look at me as a failure, Paul says. You could look at me with suspicion. Because it might be the case that if I've been able to make a trip there or not be able to make the trip there, if I've said I was going to do this and then wasn't able to do that, you might be able to look at me with suspicion. You might look at me as a failure. He said, but I hope that you'll see through that and that you will see through the worldly standards and you'll see what it is that the Lord has intended for me to do. You'll see what the plan for the church is and you will see that and recognize that and glorify that. What we have to do is look at someone differently in order to do that. Look at others as eternal souls made in the image of God. When we do that, that changes the way we view each other. That changes the way we treat each other. Because you know we are living in a time where this is desperately needed. Christians are needed who will show the way in how to treat others. We live at a time where we are divided again. We are divided over skin color. Christians have to lead the way in love. We are divided over politics. If anybody ever thought that wasn't true, surely after this last week, now you know it's true. We're divided in this country over politics. Christians have to lead the way in love. If Christ lives in me, I'll be looking for the good in my circumstances and in the people that I'm around. Paul says, if the Lord Jesus lives in you, then you will view me the right way. If the Lord Jesus lives in you, you will view each other the right way. If the Lord Jesus lives in you, you will view yourself the right way. You've got to be able to see good in every situation and in other people. And that brings us to this. You have to be willing to be defamed or defrauded. Are you willing to appear weak? Now, a lot of us say, now, wait a minute. Sign me out on that. I'm not willing to sign that dotted line. I'm not willing to look weak. Read these words with me again, beginning at verse 7. We pray to God that you may not do wrong, now that we may appear to have met the test. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we're glad when we're weak. We are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. And so for this reason, I write these things that while I'm away from you, that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me for building up, not for tearing down. Now listen to those words. What he wants to do is build up, not tear down. And he doesn't care if his personal reputation takes a hit. Can you imagine that? He doesn't care if some people out there accuse him of being a failure. He doesn't care if some people out there accuse him of being weak. Now, here's how it might work. Now, he's made some really serious threats. You read those first four verses where he says, I can come and I'll be strong. I can come and I can... He's made some very serious threats about what might happen. And so they say, well, look, you made a lot of threats, Paul. You said you were going to come in here swinging. You said you were going to come in here and clean house. But what if he comes and doesn't have to throw out the money changers? What if he comes and doesn't have to clean house? What if he comes and is allowed to be gentle? Some might accuse him of weakness. Some might accuse him of failing to do what he promised he'd do. But he says, what I'd rather see than coming there and being mean, what I'd rather see than coming there and being there with a whip, is I'd rather come there and see hearts changed. I'd rather come and see lives changed. I'd rather come there and see all manner of people who have just totally turned their lives upside down. That's what I'd rather see. Then he wouldn't have to be upset, right? He'd rather see Christ living in these people than to come in and be harsh and punish them. Now think about that. He wants the name of Christ to be upheld, even if that means his is pushed down. He wants the church to grow, even if that means his situation gets diminished. I'm constantly reminded of what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7. We're in the context of Christians suing each other. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, 7, to have lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not be defrauded? That has so much application. It goes so far beyond just that little situation of one Christian suing another Christian. I think about that, and you should think about that. Why not rather be defrauded? If I'm so dead set on someone else cracking first, I'm digging my heels in, and I'm not changing because they got to change. You might have a spiritual heart problem. Paul said, I'd rather you get the glory. I'd rather you go first. I'd rather you and put me in a place of weakness. If I refuse to humble myself, if I just dig my heels in and make my knuckles whiter and I refuse to humble myself, am I healthy? I think the text would say no. The Lord would say no. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. He says, I would much rather it be that you think I've failed. I'd much rather it be that you see me as weak if it means all your lives being turned over to Christ. If it means more and more hearts being given to the Lord, I'm fine with being seen as weak. That's a sign of health. That's a sign of vitality. That's a sign of Christ living in someone. And then here's the last one. The last one is a willingness to repent. He clearly and forcefully announces that judgment is coming in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 13. Notice that he says in verse 2, I warned those who sinned before all the others, and I warn them now while absent, just as I did on my present second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare. Unless there's changes, I promise you, I will come with the harshness that heaven allows. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 20. I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. That perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, disorder. There better not be that among you, he says. 21, I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented. That's what he's worried about, is that he'll come back to Corinth and there'll be those who haven't repented. They haven't repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality they've practiced. Then look at 13:5, about verse 8. We can't do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We're glad when we're weak and you're strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. You being taken from a place of brokenness to being healed. You being taken from a place of separation to being connected again. Your restoration is what we want. So here's what he says. Here's the summary of it. Strength is seen in an ability to admit wrong. Strength is seen in an ability to admit sin. Wisdom is seen in knowing that it's Christ alone who can help. Christ is seen to be living in me when it is to Him that I turn when I've failed. Christ is seen to be living in me when I turn from my own selfishness to follow Him with my whole heart. That's why the Lord Jesus would say in Luke 13, 3-5, unless you repent, you die in your sins. That's why Peter said in Acts 2:38, when they were asked, what must they do? He said, repent and be immersed and you'll be forgiven. My willingness, my anxiousness to repent is a sign of spiritual strength. It's a sign of my life in the faith. Examine yourselves. See whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. And he says one of the ways you do that, as he connects this with the end of chapter 12, is have you repented of the things that have been so clearly laid out that are not in harmony with the will of God? I will mourn if I come and find you still sinning. I will mourn if I come and find you haven't repented of the quarreling and jealousy and the anger and hostility and the slander and the gossip and the conceit and the disorder and of the impurity, the immorality, the sensuality. I will mourn if I come and find you haven't repented of those things, if your life hasn't changed, if Jesus isn't seen in your life and covering up all those old, ugly, terrible ways you used to live. So let me close by saying this. The next time somebody asks you if they can take your temperature before you enter a public space, I want you to remember this and ask yourself, am I really healthy? Am I living and experiencing all that it means for Christ to be living in me? He said, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you? Even today, if you've examined yourself and understand that you are not in the faith, we call on you to come to Jesus. If you've examined yourself and you recognize that you are weak and you are in need of His help, we call on you to come to Jesus. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, whether that means having you immersed into a watery grave so you can be forgiven and added to the kingdom by Jesus, or if it means recognizing your weakness and needing the Lord to give you strength and direction and help, in whatever way it might be, we call on you to come to Jesus while we stand and sing.